Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 2. Sakshatri Prasita Devar Drishvatam Maha Mahad Adbhutam Adrishta Shatta Purvatvat Sanapeyaya Sankita Sakshat directly Shri, the goddess of fortune, Prashtita, being requested to go forward before the Lord. Devai, by all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Drishva, after seeing, Tam, him, Lord Nrisimhadev, Mahat, very big, Adbhutam, wonderful, Adrishta, never seen, Ashuta, never heard of, Purvavat, due to being previously, Sa, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, Na, not, Upayaya, went before the Lord, Shankita, being very much afraid. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, was requested to go before the Lord by all the demigods present, who because of fear could not do so. But even she had never seen such a wonderful and extraordinary form of the Lord, and thus she could not approach him. Purport. The Lord has unlimited forms and bodily features. Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. These are all situated in Vaikuntha. Not yet Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, being inspired by Leela Shakti, cannot appreciate this unprecedented form of the Lord. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya recites the following verses from the Brahmanda Purana. Adrishta Sruta Purvavad Anyai Sadaranar Janai Nursingham Sankiteva Shriya Loka Moha Yeno Yayo Parade Chaiva Vatsalya Darshanaya Hare api gyatva manas tata brahma paradam preshayat tada ekatraikasya vatsalyam visheshad darshashayad dari avarasyapi mohaya kamanaivapi vatsalya. What a vatsalya is there. Calf, Vatsala means calf. In other words, for the common men, the form of the Lord as Nrisimhadev is certainly unseen and wonderful. But for a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, such a fearful form of the Lord is not at all extraordinary. By the grace of the Lord, a devotee can very easily understand how the Lord can appear in any form he likes. Therefore, the devotee is never afraid of such a form. Because of special favor bestowed upon Prahlad Maharaj, he remains silent and unafraid. Even though all the demigods, including even Lakshmi Devi, were afraid of Lord Nrisimhadev. Narayana para sarve na kutasjana bibhyati. The Bhagavatam 6:17:28. Not only is the pure devotee of Narayan, like Prahlad Maharaj, unafraid of any dangerous conditions of material life, But also, if the Lord appears to mitigate the fear of a devotee, the devotee maintains the status of fearlessness in all circumstances. Sakshat Sri Preshita Devar Drishvatam Mahat Adbhutam Adrishta Shruta Purvatvat Sa Na No Peya Shankita. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, was requested to go before the Lord by all the demigods present, who, because of fear, could not do so. But even she had never seen such a wonderful and extraordinary form of the Lord, and thus she could not approach him. Something about Lila Shakti is mentioned here. And according to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Lord Nrisimhadeva exists in the Vaikuntha planets eternally. Therefore, it's not that Lakshmi Devi actually saw Nrisimhadeva for the first time, because she's seen him eternally. But in order to facilitate or provide for the Lila Shakti, more or less had Lakshmi Devi forget, and therefore only Prahlad Maharaj was qualified to go and pay obeisances to Lord Nrisimhadeva to actually pacify him. Otherwise, it wouldn't be much of a pastime. Shingadev's angry, Lakshmi Dev comes, massages his foot, and everything's all right, and everyone goes home. But this is much more dramatic. Little five-year-old boy, there are great, great demigods who are ruling the universe, and a little five-year-old boy is the only one who could pacify God. So this is a little bit more of a story. Help us sell more Bhagavatam. On the other hand, it's mentioned here about fearlessness or fearfulness. Everyone in the material world, the primary suffering is fear. And fear is due to ignorance. And ignorance is due to the fact that we don't know who we are, and we don't know what's actually going on here. We don't know what's going on here. We don't know who we are, because we don't want to know. Well, maybe we want to know, but we don't want to know that much. Because if we found out what was going on here, then we find out that we're quite insignificant. And that's not why we came to the material world, to become insignificant. We came here to become the center of the universe, which is a little difficult for someone who's 1/10,000th size of tip here in size. Therefore, we've been making a big effort since time immemorial. Unsuccessfully. Doesn't mean we've given up our determination to do it. Even one becomes morose and commits suicide and appears as given up, but actually he's just given up that particular opportunity to become God. It didn't work, so let me commit suicide and I'll become God somewhere else. Maybe I'll become the king of the ghosts. In America they used to have this book, it was called Casper the Friendly Ghost. You ever heard Casper the Friendly Ghost? No. Yeah, cartoon, yeah. Casper the Friendly Ghost. So, I'll become Casper the Friendly Ghost and become an important ghost. I can't make it in this mature world of any importance. No one appreciates me. Well, amongst the ghosts, I'm the supreme. I'm the nicest ghost. I'm a friendly ghost. And therefore, because we always want to be something that we're not, we're always afraid. Because whatever we are, we see that it's not going to work. No matter how much I try to become the center of attention, it's going to fail eventually, and I don't know what's going to happen next. Fear is due to bhayam dvitiya vineshitasyat. Ishadavatasya vipario smriti. As soon as one turns oneself away from Krishna and thinks, I'm going to compete against Krishna, why should everyone chant Krishna's name? They should chant my name. Why should everyone remember Krishna? They should remember me. And therefore, we're put into ignorance. Because first of all, the body that we hope that everyone remembers actually is not us. Therefore, if they remember our body, they're not remembering us. They're remembering part of Krishna's universal form. In other words, all our efforts to become the center of the universe are simply a waste of time. Because it's not possible to happen, except an illusion. Even on our dreams, the dream bodies that we manifest in our dreams are not even our bodies. We're simply the observer of them, cheering them on. Go for it. Go get it. Even when we're running in a race, trying to become the Olympic champion, but actually we're not even watching ourselves running. We're watching a material body that we're in as a passenger running under the energy of Krishna. And therefore, even if this body wins, it doesn't win anything. It wins more illusion. I haven't gotten anywhere of any importance. I've simply watched my body go from one place to another faster than anyone else. But when we got there, we got the same thing. Nothing. Of course, I might get some recognition. They may even give me a gold medal. But neither the recognition nor the gold medal are going to last. So it doesn't matter how fast I run, I'm not going to be able to go anywhere of any significance. One should therefore try to get out of illusion. And the only way of getting out of illusion, which causes fearfulness, vita raga bhaya krodha manmaya mamupashitya bahava gana tapasa putma bhava agata. Being free from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me. Many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me. And thus they all attain transcendental love for me. So there's only one way of getting out of this fear. Give up our conceptions that cause the fear. It's not that it's only lust, anger, and greed that binds us and causes us fear. It's our very attachment to our material conceptions. Of course, the most important conception, as I said, I think it wasn't yesterday. I haven't been here for 3 days. But the obvious thing is, Ishvaraham aham bhogi saraham balavan sukhi. Imam te nat paskayana bhaktaya kadachana. Ya idam paramam guyam. Idam adya maya labdvam imam prapsem aravatam. Idam astiyam apime bhavishyati purardhanam. Aso maya hatakshatrur hanishe chaparan api ishvaraham aham bhogi siraham balavan sukhi. Adyo bi janavana smi konyosti sadri shamaya yakshe das shami modisha itya ganam vibohitaha. So much is mine today, and I'll gain more according to my schemes. So much money do I have, and in the future I'll get more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and all my other enemies will be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am surrounded by rich and aristocratic relatives. There is no one so happy and opulent as I am. I shall perform some sacrifice. I shall give some charity. Or as Purna Chandra Maharaj wrote in his Gitamrita, I'll go to the heavenly planets and kiss the apsaras. In this way, the demoniac are bewildered by ignorance. So these are this conception that binds us here. Of course, some of us are more meek. You know, I'm not the Lord of everything. I'm just the Lord of my pussycat or something. This little pussycat is my baby. Sit! And goes, what? Oh, yes. I'm strong, powerful. Bow down, cat. So sometimes we're not so opulent, famous, whatever it is, but we take shelter of a little bit of material opulence, and we hope it'll grow more and more. And we become envious of those who might take our false prestige away from us or our false possessions. In other words, the conception. And Prabhupada summarizes three conceptions of life that bind one to ignorance. First conception, caused by material attachment, is that there's nothing beyond matter. And that this matter, this universal form of Krishna, is that all that there exists, and therefore one becomes attached to it. Doesn't believe in anything called spiritual life, because there's no spiritual life, there's only matter. Everything is a product of matter. I'm a product of matter. There's no such thing as spirit or soul or anything. There's just different manifestations of matter. And then there's the other one who thinks, well, actually, maybe I am spirit, but I'm an impersonal spirit. I'm consciousness, but consciousness is better off impersonal. Because if I became a person, I'd have the same problems in the spiritual world as I have here. The difference is that here I have temporary problems, but there I have eternal problems with people. I go back to the spiritual world and I see my worst enemy there and think, how did you get here? Krishna, go to Krishna, knock. What's the problem? Hey, how did this guy get here? He doesn't deserve to be here. Send him back to the material world. There's not room enough in the spiritual world for the two of us. Either he goes or I go. I'm not going to spend eternity with this guy. So we're afraid we're going to get there, to the spiritual world, and it's not exactly what I wanted. I only got a one-way ticket. I want to go back. When's the next bus going back? So we're fearful what a spiritual identity is. And then the conception of voidism that underlies the frustration in life. That when I'm dead, I'm dead, and that's it. No one can find me, and I can't find myself. I just disappear. So whether I'm the worst villain in history, I'm 1,000 times worse than Adolf Hitler or Mussolini or whatever, or I'm the greatest saint. But when I disappear, I'm in the same place that they're all at, nothing. We just pop, and that's it. So it doesn't matter if I'm good or bad. Doesn't matter what I do. At the end, it's all zero. So it's a little frustrating. That conception has led to the unlimited, unrestricted sense gratification that people are trying to enjoy, because they think, at the end, it's all zero anyhow. What's the difference what I do? No conception of karma, no conception of reincarnation, no conception of any responsibility for what one is doing. So these three conceptions, fear of a personal spiritual identity, materialistic conception of life, frustration which underlies the fear of voidism, impersonalism, these can be overcome only through the process of, in this age especially, pure devotional service, sadhana bhakti. By following the process, then one can rise up to the stage of bhava, and at the stage of bhava, then all these material conceptions actually disappear completely. And one is liberated from these conceptions. Liberation doesn't entail getting simply free out of a body, because we could become free out of the body, just like the impersonalists, and merge in Brahman, and still be fearful. Sitting there in Brahman thinking, am I really missing anything? How did I get here? You know, it's nice and comfortable, but my God, there's nothing to do here. I'm getting a little bored. I've been here for 5 trillion lifetimes of Brahma. I mean, there must be something to do here. Maybe I'll go take a peek back in the material world, see what's going on. Maybe it's improved for all I know. It's been a long time. They must have made some improvements there. And pop, we're back in the material world again. So as long as one is in avidya and ignorance, and one doesn't know one's spiritual identity, one doesn't know the identity of Krishna, then we'll always be fearful, we'll always be dissatisfied, and always hankering for some what the results of my materialistic happiness is, that there must be something beyond matter. And when I find out there's something beyond matter, I'm disappointed that the spirit, we don't even appreciate spirit, and then we think, well, maybe I should just disappear and merge in the void. But by the process of sadhana bhakti, which gives us, rises up to the stage of bhava bhakti, then one can experience intense transcendental happiness in relation with Krishna, and therefore one is no longer fearful, like Prahlad Maharaj. Otherwise, we have all these sadhana bhaktas there, Brahma, Shiva, all the demigods, and because they're not in the stage of bhava bhakti, therefore they're fearful. Of course, Lakshmi Devi is beyond that. She's a prema bhakti. But as it says, Leela Shakti has put her into bewilderment so that Prahlad Maharaj could be glorified. Otherwise, his glories would never be completely understood. We understood how fearless he was of his father, but after all, he never took his father very seriously. It was just mundane creation. But God came in the most fearful form, and still Prahlad was completely undisturbed and unfearful. So that's true unfearfulness under any possibility. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. Maharshi mentioned that Lakshmi Devi was put under the Lila Shakti. They're also and Lakshmi Devi and Lila Shakti, they're both internal energies, right?
Yeah, so. But they're not the same internal energy.
So Lila Shakti is above Lakshmi.
Yeah, of course.
And
in the spiritual world, Purnamasi, Lila takes care of Lila Shakti. And she arranges all the tasks under Radha Krishna every day.
Hmm. And
bring the Devi together and some others, and then they make a plan how Radha Krishna got to meet that day.
And they also control things here. I mean, also pastimes in the material world. Lila Shakti, not Purnamasi.
Lila Shakti. There's a Shakti, I forget what the Bhu, She, in the material world. She expands herself. We're not exactly having a pastime.
I mean, it's mentioned herein. You mentioned this. Herein is Lila Shakti. Act upon Lakshmi Devi.
Here, of course.
Yeah.
So that we're somewhere else except in the spiritual world. We're just in the prison part of it. Well, but Lakshmi Devi is not in the material world in any circumstance. She comes, she brings the spiritual world with her.
Sure. And question regarding Lord Shiva, it is considered the topmost Vaishnava.
Yeah.
How he also experienced this fear?
I don't know how fearful Lord Shiva was either, but doesn't exactly mention. But yeah, he's the topmost Vaishnava, but he's not on his devotion because he's a very special category. Shiram, he's a mixture of, he has Krishna in contact with material nature. So he does, although he's the greatest Vaishnava, always thinking about Krishna, but he's not really considered to be on the same level as Prahlad Maharaj in terms of unalloyed devotion. Because he has some duty to do in the material world, but he has some contact with the illusory energy, Maya, his wife, or Parvati.
So this fear is induced by material energy.
Is it used by material energy?
Yeah, who will force this fear? It's material energy.
So if we put under the spell of material nature, we have to be fearful.
And how come if the Lord Shiva is the husband of the material energy, can be influenced by...
Well, if you have a wife like mine, she'll be afraid.
It works everywhere. Thank you.
I don't really know how, you know, afraid Lord Shiva really is, but this is also part of Krishna's pastime. I mean, he is, Shiva, Brahma, Vishnu, they're all working under Krishna's control. But this is special, you know. Shiva had certain pastimes, and especially expansions of Shiva, just for pastime's sake. Mm-hmm. When Rikasura went to touch his head, he didn't stand and come touch me, see what happens. And he fled. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fast. Fled. He chased him all over the universe until Lord Vishnu saved him.
Yeah, also, it's interesting because Lord Shiva is responsible for destroying for Pralaya. So it's
these are invisible energies of Krishna. How they're working. I mean, the whole thing is, ultimately, when Mother Yasoda comes with the stick, and Krishna's crying, and he's actually fearful, then who can understand that, what that shakti is, the evil shakti. But that's what Krishna wants, that's his own pleasure.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much, Radharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.